it under Windows with Cygwin. I find myself doing that a lot when I'm forced to work on that other operating system. And I have noticed that my productivity goes way, way down if I don't have Bash available to me. So, we're not going to cover too much here. As I said, content creep. Meta characters, variables, quoting, on and on and on.
I don't see functions.
No, there are no functions in here.
Well, sure. Macros?
No. Lee was talking about part two. Are you taking notes, Lee?
Aliases.
Aliases.
No aliases.
No, Don is just volunteering.
And there's nothing wrong with volunteering. You'll learn a lot doing it, like I explained earlier.
Someone else.
How do you think Carl got to be president?
He didn't show up at the election.
Okay, so meta characters. Starting with these, because everything that you do in Bash almost is going to have some kind of meta characters involved. And they are used to pass special parameters, directions to the shell. They include this whole long, ugly string of stuff. If you just type them randomly into your shell, into your command prompt, you will start seeing strange behavior or errors. If you want to actually use a meta character, say you actually want to print a dollar sign or print that ampersand or brackets or whatever you got, you need to escape them, like so. So I've actually, looking ahead a little bit here too, setting a variable A equals to 7. Echo dollar A, there's a meta character. I'm telling Bash that I actually want to echo the variable A, not the letter A itself. So I get 7 back. If I want to see the dollar sign, I have to escape it with that backslash character up here. And then I get dollar A as my output. Here we go, variables. Variables are containers for a value. As you've seen, designated by a dollar sign. They are restricted to the current shell. Just because you declare a variable one place doesn't mean it's going to be visible every place else. If you want that variable to propagate, you're going to need to export it. And you can see variables with the env command. If you have any questions, or if you have a potential of confusing the shell as to what your variable is, designate the variable itself with brackets. So, I've got this variable hero, Linus Torvalds, Linus space Torvalds. So if I want to echo hero, I just do my echo dollar sign. Notice here I've got hero all caps. You don't have to have variable names all caps. You can have them camel case. You can have them all lowercase. A lot of times you'll see people designate their variables all caps. So anyway, echo my variable and I get Linus Torvalds back. And then here I do an echo foo dollar hero bar. And I confuse the heck out of Bash. What happened was the echo command saw foo, which it understood as just being a regular string, and then it saw a variable called hero bar. Well, I haven't declared anything called hero bar. So if I want to keep my variable straight, I put foo dollar, and then inside brackets I have my variable name hero, and then after the closed brackets I do bar, and I get foo minus Torvalds bar. Makes sense.
Both the dollar into the in and outside the brace.
What about in the
inside the brace? I think there is some other behavior which I'm not quite sure what it is. I think it will interpret the dollar sign inside the braces differently than it will outside.
What if you have a slash inside the braces?
A slash inside.
Like an email I sent out: dollar sign, right bracket or curly brace, 0% string.
Close brace.
Yeah, that's really, really, yeah, that does like
part two stuff.
Yeah. Once you get into the pound percent sign constructs, you're actually matching parts of a string and discarding the rest.
Okay.
And there's
which is why that's in the genome.
Depending on what that match came back with, yeah.
Make a note for bar two.
Yes. So here we mentioned exported and unexported variables. This is what happens when you have an unexported variable. So I've got my A equal to 7, and it comes back when I do an echo $A. Then I start a new shell inside my original bash shell. I just typed in bash. And once my initialization files, that we'll talk a little bit more in a minute, fire up, I do my echo $A. No, 0, nothing comes back, undefined. I exit out of that shell that I just spawned, back into my original shell, echo $A, it's still there. Had I exported it.
What's that keychain stuff?
Keychain, that is my SSH key manager.
Oh, I'm saying, why does invoking another copy of bash fiddle with your SSH?
That is because it reads my .bashrc, and in my .bashrc, I actually have the keychain initialization commands. So that way, as I start new shells, my SSH agent has my keys loaded and ready to go, and I don't have to do anything. Oh. If you're not familiar with keychain, it is a really, really cool program that does wonders for managing your SSH keys. Very easy to use. Yeah, Carl, you use that, don't you?
I did. and when I had to redo the laptop, I lost it. And I haven't had a chance to snooker you into resetting it back up for me. But it does work really cool.
No, Keychain is a wonderful program.
Well, it's there on in the GUI. There's something under the GNOME.
Yeah, but that's a GUI.
Well,
this is about bash. This is a shell.
Sure,
so anyway.
One thing to note on this, unless you're doing it on the next page, you can have the export and the assignment in the same line and save some photons.
I've not had much luck with that. That
you
would be
can you actually can do that under pretty much every version of Bash that I've ever seen. That will work.
Yeah.
Where export. It will net. What's that?
Export space caps term equal.
Yeah, that will definitely work under bash.
Oh, okay.
And actually, that's a good point because I don't think I have that in another slide anywhere. However, if you find yourself, say, on a Solaris box where you SU and you need to set a variable, you cannot do that under the born shell, which is the default root shell for Solaris.
So switch it to bash.
You can do that, or
politics.
Ain't that the truth?
That's
so
called bashisms.
Yes.
It's not born here, is that the problem?
No. Yeah. So.
Is it 9 o'clock yet?
So, under born shell,
you cannot do an export and a variable assignment on the same line. Under bash, you can.
And you can do it under
KSH, forward. I think you can too.
Yeah, and many of the SHs out there are really KSHs. Like I said, Solaris, HP, AIX, whatever it means, like POSIX shell, really dumb born shell, K shell, and POSIX shell, and they all bin SH. So you got to figure out which behavior is your bin SH exhibiting.
And if you really want to get confusing, bash even has a POSIX compatibility mode.
Mm.
Yeah.
They all implement POSIX SH, so as long as you stick to the POSIX features,
but that's no fun.
There goes half your functionality.
Yeah.
Now, suppose there are new editions of born shell that have additional features and stuff.
We are in revision 3.2 maybe of bash. I don't remember exactly what the current version is. It's 3 something.
Yeah,
3
but
something.
What could you possibly want?
And what version of born are we?
I have no clue.
Does anybody have born? Okay.
Anyway, that's a good point. Bash 3.0 came out 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. And I remember reading the list of features that it implemented. And all of it was really exotic stuff that I knew I was never going to use. Mm-hmm. So like you said, even Bash 2X had tons of functionality in it. there are some special variables, which Carl kindly introduced at least one of them to us during the PS talk. Dollar question mark is the exit code of the last command. This is a really easy way to find out if something worked or not.
But it is exactly the last command.
Yes.
If you use it once.
Yeah.
If you run something else, it, yeah. It just clobbered dollar question mark.
There are a few things that are built into the shell that won't clobber it.
Really?
Yes, there are some reserve variables.
Echo. Echo, it depends whether you use the built-in echo or the bin echo command. I mean, it depends. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's...
That's true.
And then you can actually, well...
PWD, I don't know if PWD is built... There's certain commands that you think are external commands, and they're actually built into the bash.
There, and there is actually a shell option which will let you control whether or not you use the built-in commands or the path to the command, too, which I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about the built-in commands, and I've got a list of some of the most common ones. You mentioned echo. That's a really good one for when your system is so posed that LS doesn't work anymore. anyway, dollar bang, dollar exclamation point is the PID of the last backgrounded command. So if you saw Carl demonstrating the backgrounding of a job, you could use that PID, shorthand dollar bang, to manipulate the process. Dollar dollar is the PID of the current shell. We're going to see this used in conjunction with LSOF when we start talking about file descriptors. There are some built-in variables which really have a specific reserved meaning. You are free to manipulate them. Don't expect them to have any additional functionality, though. If you assign, for example, a value to PS1, you have just reset your prompt. There is a whole bash prompt how-to that is worth reading if you feel the need to do that. PS2 is your secondary prompt. If you ever started typing a command and then hit enter too soon, and then you see it drops you down to, usually it's a right arrow. That right arrow is PS2. That's the secondary prompt. That is the prompt that indicates you have not finished typing your command yet. A lot of times that'll happen if you've forgotten to close a quote, for example. And we'll see some examples of that, too, when we do some of the command line scripts. Home, your home directory, built-in variable. Probably not a good idea to redefine this unless you really, really have a good reason to. Path is the variable which specifies the list of directories which will be searched for any commands that you type in the shell. History file size and history size, we'll talk about history a little bit later on. And then old PWD, this is kind of a cool one. If you went to CD back to the directory that you were in before your current directory, you don't actually need to type the whole directory name. CD space dash. And dash is a shorthand for old PWD. So if you're under user source Linux, five directories deep in the source tree, and then you CD to your home directory, and then you want to go back to where you were in the source, just CD dash. Save yourself a whole lot of typing.
Note they're all capitalized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you went dollar capital hero, I went, Not a bad idea to at least have the first character lowercase.
Yeah.
Like C coding.
Yeah, whatever mechanism that you want to come up with for separating the predefined variables from your locally defined variables is probably not a bad idea. But it's Linus, isn't he worth all caps? Okay, quoting. I was looking for an easy way to explain quoting, and then I found a web page written by a man by the name of Huey Waldman, who I wasn't familiar with until I started researching this. And he explained it so well, I just copied him word for word. Single quotes. It'd be one single quote on each side of your enclosed string or whatever you got. Protect everything. Backslashes, new lines, the only thing that a single quote won't protect is another single quote. Because at that point, you're going to confuse Bash into thinking, oh, you just closed the quotes.
Yeah.
If you want to have single quotes, or a single quote character, maybe like an apostrophe inside of a pair of single quotes, you need to escape it.
One of several ways.
Yes. Double quotes. protect everything except, another double quote, obviously, backslashes, dollar signs, and back quotes, which we'll see in a minute, until we get to the next double quote. And you can protect inside of double quotes with a backslash. The big thing about double quotes, if you're looking for a way to remember everything, what it does not do is it still allows what's called variable interpolation or variable expansion. That means that any variable, you can just do dollar variable name inside your double quotes, it'll still expand.
I found these two rules to fit most modern programming languages, actually. Python.
Perl is definitely true.
Perl.
Yeah.
C. Not quite C, because C uses a single quote for characters, not strings.
Oh, you're right.
My question is, which one should you prefer?
It depends on what you want to do.
Which one should I prefer in the general case?
Single quotes. I like single quotes because...
Single quotes have fewer exceptions to what they do, and I think I prefer them for the same reason.
And it's a more literal quote, unless you need the other...
Unless I need a variable expansion, that's kind of the way I lean,
that's
too.
That's the way I've leaned in the past year or two, is single quotes. Maybe that's just because I kind of understood more... The difference.
On the other hand, I need to have a space preserved, and I know I'm not doing anything fancy, I think whatever my finger just does by.
The other advantage of the same quote is there's no shift required.
That's true. You're saving two keystrokes.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking before you said that.
You've probably made a logical convert out of me, Craig, but not a physical convert.
It took me a long time to.
I'm sitting here processing it. I mean, I'm addicted to double quotes because it goes all the way back to when I first learned to program in BASIC.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Right. I mean, it's what seems natural to me because that's what I learned first was that double quotes were for strings and single quotes were for characters. That was the first rule I learned, and so I still operate by those rules. But I think you're making a good argument
your same place until I kind of looked at this and thought about it and had to consciously try to use single quotes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look at it like single quotes allows all the variables to expand. Double quotes.
Single quotes means literally this.
The one closest to the shift key always makes things expand out to variables.
They're both on the same key.
Give that man a keyboard.
Hit with the shift.
With the shift, you get double.
There we go.
You know, the other thing is,
Sankey without the shift, though.
Yeah, you get Sankey without the shift, you get single.
Craig, we're talking about more easily expected behavior out of the single quotes. It'll also save you the trouble of escaping things more often.
That is a plus.
Mm-hmm. You also have the benefit that if you are interpolating, if you do double quotes and you're not interpolating, it's going to take more time because whatever's processing that language is actually going to sit there and look through your whole string to see if there's anything that is a variable or is something that would be interpolated. Whereas if you're single quotes, it ignores it. It doesn't try.
So. Excellent.
I changed to single quotes, although they said that in different languages the differences can be minimal. But if you want the most performance, it's usually fastest to do that.
Or rule of thumb, single stroke, very simple, does everything. Two strokes, getting more complicated. To use the shift key.
Performance probably doesn't matter that much, because you're probably not doing anything that requires performance at bash.
Perl or Ruby.
That's why performance is important. Write a script and process something in a loop.
Yeah.
Well, you can loop and bash.
Well, we can stretch this a little longer, can't we?
Was that a request for the next slide? So here we've got some examples of quoting, and pretty much explained what happens with the quotes. You've got the single quotes. Var equals single quote foo space bar close quote, and we get our variable back with the space preserved. You define var as foo, dollar bar, dollar baz, and it comes back with the dollar signs preserved in single quotes. and saw a similar example as the Linus Torvalds. And here, we have not actually talked about this yet, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but with the back quotes or back ticks, you might hear people refer to them as, you're actually going to get command substitution. You can run a command inside of back ticks and then pass that into whatever else. So here we took date inside of back ticks, fed it to var. Var came back with Sunday, January 11th, whatever the title was. But if you put those back ticks inside of single quotes, then your var actually is back tick date. Close back tick.
I noticed in some book I read not too recently, that backticks is now deprecated in favor of dollar per end.
I was going to just talk about the same thing. Mm-hmm.
You were going to say that, didn't you?
You can't nest the backticks.
But you can do all kinds of wonderful things with dollar per end.
You will.
And it's easier to read. To see, actually.
It's to see. It's easier to see.
Yeah, but it doesn't work in Form Shell.
Yes, it is. Who was arguing in favor of portability earlier today?
I think Form Shell is kind of a...
Does anybody care
about in Acacia?
POSIX shell compatibility?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to work on that system that doesn't have bash.
You know, I have to say, I will probably be using backticks for the next 5 years just out of habit.
Yeah. You're not the only one, so I'm not going to go away anymore.
I try to force myself to use the dollar sign parentheses, but sometimes I can fall back.
When was character time?
Well,
yeah, but you need a shift key for the parentheses.
But the dollar parentheses are the things that simplify.
Next slide.
Next. I think I've just been gonged.
Question, can you explain when the command is executed with back forwards?
Oh, yeah, good point.
How do you mean?
Well, you assign it on the one, on the first line, go back to that previous line.
Yeah.
Do the assignment with a var equals date is the when this variable assigns the value at the line var or when you first execute the echo.
I believe it is when you first assign the variable.
Yeah.
Because your shell because remember bash is going to parse one line at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It has to look at the back tick, say, okay, there's a command here. I need to run this command and assign it to this variable. I don't think it keeps in memory. Oh, when the next time this variable is accessed, I need to run this command.
But if on the last after the last line, instead of after echo var, if you just type dollar var, it'll execute that. Won't it?
It should, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Try it.
Why don't you spread my laptop around and try it?
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a screenshot, right?
Yeah, these are all screenshots.
Make sure the projector's on.
Okay, how do I look at the...
Nope, it doesn't work. It tries to execute it as a literal command with the backticks.
Oh, and then it says command not found?
I get backtick dad, date, backtick command.
The laptop's still on.
Interesting.
That's true, so you don't need the backticks. I mean,
now, if you did eval var, then it would probably work.
Eval dollar var or eval var?
No, eval var, because var contains.
But you try to make it an
eval. When you do eval dollar sign var, then it does execute it and it tries to evaluate the return of the date command.
Yeah. Don, will you want to demonstrate that when you get something fired up? Because I need to see this.
two button
it just assigns the string that date command returned to the var, the variable var.
Right. Why does it? It didn't run it the first time when I just did var, but when I did eval var, it does. But then it does oddly.
Because there's a command.
We're trying to run whatever date gets back to be like the month.
I know. That's what it's doing, but I'm wondering why it actually is running the output of dates.
Try echo.
There is a very strict order of precedence in which things are interpreted off the command line.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if something is in an order that we're not expecting. Because backticks get...
Right here. Oh. Instead of the vowel, tell it to echo bar.
That just gives you backtick, date backtick. Oh. Tried that already. Yeah, I
double tap.
Okay, so that one's got me stumped.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. There we go. In full screen.
Font.
Yeah, how do you bid the font? Settings.
Is there a frigging huge setting?
Come on. No, I'm sorry.
It's those Mac fingers now.
No, it's not him. It's the pad on this laptop.
No, it's him.
There's a reason why I got this laptop for free. bigger. Go to font and then go over to select. Yeah. Oh, come on. Isn't this a setting that you can change? I go down, go over it, and you go down to select.
Okay.
And select
big.
Yeah, 18.
Probably bigger.
24 at least. Keep going.
Down here. We're running like 10 characters wide on the screen. You know?
Okay, that'll do it.
There we go.
And then just max it. Yeah, right there. Okay. Okay, we're doing now.
Duvar equals, and then in single quotes, backtick D.
So that's expected.
And then do a
date command not found.
Backtick date. It's looking for a command that has backtick.
I'm to evaluate the output of date command, which just makes no sense at all.
Yeah, but the string is enclosed in single quotes.
Isn't there a way to get eval to return the entire output rather than the first field?
Was this the command?
Well, no.
But you see, there's a space after when.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's supposed to be the command.
That's the thing. It's not a valid call. It's what's happening is it's running the date command and getting that string, and then that is being passed to a val like a command.
Yeah.
So it is trying to evaluate the output of the date command.
It's trying to execute when.
But what I'm confused about is why it's even running the date command when it doesn't, when you just do dollar sign bar.
Because you're saying eval back quote date back quote.
Back
quotes say do date first, right?
Right, but I think it would actually execute date when you just do dollar sign bar.
So who's filing a bug report?
No, it's nothing. Back quote date.
It's a bug.
It's not a bug. It's a bug. It's fine. It's working the way it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much.
So what, you're saying Clarence?
You just can't get there from here when you want to.
This is where you want an alias, probably.
I think the short version is we're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, what we want to do is impossible.
I'm not sure there's a right way.
Well, it's possible. There's never a rule of the ones we're using.
Okay.
Well.
Moving right along.
Next slide.
Pattern mashing.
File or
You'll see a lot. Some of this, at least the first two symbols, referred to in the context of globbing. Question mark matches one character. Asterisk matches zero or more characters. You can match characters in between a set of brackets. See some examples: A to Z, 1 to 9. Brackets, curly brackets.
That should be 0 through 9 to match a digit.
You're correct.
What do I win?
So 1 to 9 will let me not zero digit.
There we go.
Yep. Let me pause it.
Yeah.
Like positive. Yeah.
Yes. 0 is neither positive nor negative.
Yes. Anyway, brackets will match a comma separated list. For example, if I want to do an ls everything in local and lib, do ls/user/brackets local comma lib. And I'll expand both of those. Curly brackets can also be used to generate substrings. We'll see an example of that. So here I've touched file 1, 2, 3, and 13. If I do an ls file question mark, I see the first three, files 1, 2, and 3. I do not see 13 because the question mark only matches one character. If I do an ls file star, I get everything. There's file 13.
Where did file 22 come from?
I think that was from something else I was doing
that
earlier.
That was for last week's presentation.
That's for part two.
Yeah.
It's a preview.
If I want to list only files 1 and 2, I can put 1 and 2 separated by a hyphen inside of square brackets. If I do file 1 to 5, of which there is no 4 or 5, it comes back with file 1, 2, and 3. Here, I do file FI, bracket A to Z.
That's not a here document.
E1?
What?
What?
That's not a here document.
It's a here document.
We haven't gotten to here documents yet.
Huh? Now see here.
That's right. What troll rapidly? Control.
Document this.
So you can turn on the voice recorder.
So anyway, here it matches the L in file 1, and it's got the 1 specified on the end, so that's why we only got file 1 back. Here's an example of listing file 1 and 13 both inside of the curly brackets. And then here, I do an LSF slash I. I don't know if you can see that, but that's an M, not an N. So it says, cannot access, no such file or directory, because there is no find anything. If you want to use substrings with curly brackets, you can have dollar bracket, whatever your variable name is, colon zero. That's the entire variable name.
This is so cool. This is just really cool.
Yes. And then basically after that, I just specify a character range. My first digit specifies the start location. The second digit specifies the end location. And you'll see some examples of that.
Not the end location, but the number of digits.
Right, not the end location. So if I define var as being slug, var colon zero, actually dollar bracket, var colon zero bracket is slug. If I do dollar bracket bar colon zero colon one, I just get the S. If I change that 1 to a 2, I get SL. If I change it to a 5, I get slug. If I only want to chop out of the middle, var colon 2 colon 4 gives me UUG.
Never use a negative number for the second one to do like
up
to 3
from
the
end.
I will try it.
See what happens when you sit in front?
You said 2 colon 4. If you had said 2 colon without the 4, what would it do? Start with 2 and go to the end?
I think it will, yes.
2 without the 4? Yep.
Okay.
And then we want the...
Colon, we're going to try, I don't know, negative 3.
How about minus 2?
2.
That could...
Guess not.
So string less than 0.
Try negative 3, maybe?
No,
negative 1.
Okay, no negative numbers.
Actually, it's probably because of the 2. Do 0 colon negative 2. Try 0 colon.
Surprising 2.
Nope.
Okay, yeah, so it just doesn't like the negative.
That is the number of characters.
No, it does take a negative number, but.
The first one. Well, the substring function in a lot of languages allows you to either specify a number of characters or a negative index. So
which would give you the last?
I guess not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If your starting point is before the first character, that's okay. It just
well, it is the first character.
Just
it,
don't try to go
before the first character.
From left
but if
to
you
right,
say you want a negative number of characters return, it's not acceptable.
Well, not negative number of characters, like say up to the second character from the end.
Yeah. Well, the rule on this one is you're asking for a negative number of characters.
Right.
Yeah. And you're putting hard-coded numbers in there. Can you put expressions in there?
Let's find out.
Or can you put other variables in there? Yes.
I think if you're doing anything that complicated, you shouldn't be using shell in the first place.
That may be.
You'd be surprised. I wrote an entire remote automated deployment installer for Gentoo Linux using POSIX SH. Oh, it was painful.
Yeah. What Don just did. C is a character count. You can put $C in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a starting character, but...
Now the question, now can you do arithmetic? Can you do $C minus Because now you start to say, what happens if you get negative numbers? You know, what happens if your arithmetic produces a negative number?
Well, you can use a tick. You have to surround it by two sets of parentheses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the colon, do two opening parentheses.
Yep.
That worked.
Did it?
Yes. Where'd you set zero?
Three minus two.
Interesting.
D. Dollar D.
Is one.
Oh.
Is one. So.
Mm-hmm. So start with.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. Any other convoluted examples anybody wants to try?
Okay.
Here we go.
I
want to
see the assignments that are kind of contained in the list. Did you do that with the presentation?
Actually, no, I did not.
And the nice thing about all these convoluted examples is tomorrow night I won't wonder what it was I forgot.
This is something I did not realize when I started researching this presentation.
Character class is cool.
Yeah, you actually do get character class support. So I can actually specify match any alphanumeric character or match alphabetical characters or ASCII characters. Some of these I'm not quite sure how they're going to work. I don't know what graph is. I just copied that one straight out of the Bash documentation.
It's a visible character.
Oh, is it?
An invisible character.
So what's the difference between that and print?
Oh,
maybe
I'm wrong.
I thought graph was the line drawn.
No, I think you're right about it. It's French.
Huh?
I guess.
So, they just provided the character class names, and I'm not a POSIX expert by any means, so do with it what you will. We'll see a couple of examples. So, here we've got a couple of files. 33L-LEET, L33T, and then in quote, LEET Haxor, in hackerese. So if I do an LS, and you notice that I've got to have the character classes in square brackets, as it's surrounded by colons, for this to work. This is not a test construct, but it's bracket, bracket, colon, digit, colon, close bracket.
Double bracket, huh?
Double bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first set of brackets is just...